Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Well, you ready for the Word? Amen. Looking forward to getting to the Word today. We've been doing a series on the topic, A Place Called Forward. And we've been into going forward. I'm going to complete that series today, I believe. Sometimes God gives more, but I think we're going to be concluding today. And I trust you've been encouraged by the series. Now, all the different lessons are on the podcast. They're on the website. Just go there. You'll find them on the YouTube channel. Everything is there. And I trust you will become current. This is the fifth part of that series. And I trust you will get into it and receive from it. Let God speak to your heart. There is so much that God is doing and saying today. And it's important to have the right relationship with the past as you're going forward. Now, we don't forget anything that God has done. We don't forget people. We don't forget how he helped us. But there is an important distinction between, you know, remembering and looking back. We've always taught you that the Bible says Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. And that, in fact, the Hebrew sense of that term, look back, really means she looked back behind her or she went back. So it wasn't that she glanced backwards. She actually turned and began to go back. And that's the problem with the past. Sometimes there are attachments that pull on us. Well, I'm saying sever those attachments if they're negative, if they're unproductive. Certainly, do not forget the people, the lessons that you've learned from the past. So when we say look forward and go forward, we're not saying, you know, blind yourself to everything in the past because we are products of the past. So today, our topic under the heading of A Place Called Forward is part five, Roads and Rivers, How God Carries You Forward. All right, roads and rivers. And we'll bring that phrase out of the text and hopefully make it an application to you. You can live and walk out today. All right, let's go into our first scripture. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18, 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we have often used that scripture. We've preached from it many times. It is so relevant to our lives today. And let me begin just by sharing that you know, when you look at scripture, we want to always consider the context. That is, who is it written to? That's first. Before we make it work or find application for ourselves, be clear about why it was written in the first place. And so that we understand God's talking to Israel as they were in captivity and as they were living in circumstances not ideal. Now, they were not in slavery like American slavery. They almost had a comfortable captivity in some ways. They owned houses and land and so forth. Sometimes, you know, we can get very comfortable in certain kinds of captivity and forget our purpose and stop reaching for a higher purpose. We've settled somewhere that's comfortable. But sometimes comfort is a distraction. Comfort sometimes can be as bad as bondage if we lose focus on God. And so Israel had seasons of dwelling outside of their place and their purpose. We know they dwelt in Egypt for 430 years, meaning that people were raised in Egypt, never knew of anything other than Egypt and slavery. And that was cruel slavery in Egypt. And so that here were people conditioned to living a certain way, thinking a certain way, really having no connection to the future, other than God's promise. There was no promised land because they hadn't been there yet. It was yet to be revealed to them. So it's hard for us to put our minds in that place, but here are people who did not know anything other than their present circumstance. And I suspect that sometime when we're overwhelmed with circumstances, sometime all we can think about, all we can see, all we can feel is the circumstance. I don't suggest you not think about it, not feel it, but I suggest that you don't only focus on the circumstance, because there's promises that lie outside of your circumstance. We know that God brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and we know that they saw the miracle of the water parting. They crossed on dry ground. We also know that after they crossed, they failed. After all the buildup and all the miraculous work God did, the folk fell back. They fell away because they were not practicing the presence of God. Now, of course, they weren't saved. We know this. They ultimately, the whole ordeal was to bring them to Christ. But we saw also Moses began to, he recognized that something more was needed. And so he wrote the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, ending with Deuteronomy. And in that book, he used the word today over 160 times, in the sense that, you know, this is what God wants you to do today. Think about this today. Practice this today, today, today. Because one problem Israel had, they were so focused on just getting out of Egypt, they weren't focused on preparation for the promised land. They wanted to go forward, but weren't clear on where they were going and how to function when they got there, right? Sometimes, you know, we come into blessings, come into money and things, and don't know how to handle it. Well, God's always a God of preparation. And so going forward is coupled with understanding and living what we call the power of today, all right? So let's go again back to our slides here, and let's look at our next point here. So here's that same verse from Isaiah 43. Here's some alternate readings I want to share with you. Here's one from the Message Bible, which reads, Isaiah 43:18, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I am making a road through the desert and rivers in the Badlands. That's translation, Badlands, wilderness. In fact, they call North Dakota the Badlands up there, parts of it. Good News translation says, but the Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Now, again, the context is not forgetting everything from the past. And there are people who say, well, Black history, y'all should stop. Y'all should get over it, get beyond it, and not understanding. Well, first of all, some stuff is still going on. But beyond that, Black history isn't only about slavery and the bad stuff. We also look at the heroic things and the godly things and things that happened that have shaped who we are today. So when God says, you know, when the text says, forget the past, in context, forget the sinful things, the unproductive things, the bondage, right? The slavery, all the bad stuff. Of course, remember the good things. Even God told Israel to remember things and practice certain feasts, you know, certain times of the year. And so it's clear that God didn't say forget everything from the past, nor should we. So we want to then, I want you to put in your mind or get in your mind this ideal of roads and rivers. And it's a poetic statement. It's a beautiful statement. Let's go back to that and go a little deeper with that. Now, as we talked a couple weeks ago, we should exercise the power of today. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And let's go back to another verse here, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Again, it's when Moses taught the people. Again, looking back at how they failed crossing the Red Sea, he taught them in this book to focus on today, being prepared today, so when tomorrow comes, you're ready for it. Now it shall come to pass, if diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and observe carefully, you can say today, observe carefully, not tomorrow, today, all his commands, which I command you today, right? That the Lord will set you high above all nations of the earth. Pretty clear. That's just one verse out of, 160 others where the word today is used to emphasize the preparation today to face tomorrow, okay? All right, let me share with you this this excerpt from a commentary I read on Exodus about rivers and roads and so forth and God bringing them out. Verse 18, basically, of Isaiah 43, that commentary. As Isaiah wrote prophetically to Israel, they were mired in the desperate circumstances of captivity and exile. God wanted to put their eyes on the new work he would do. So he began with a reminder not to remember the former things. If they were stuck in the failure and sin of discouragement and discouragement of the past, they would never go forward to the new thing God had for them. Now, please get that. First, in Israel's context and in your and my context. You know, sometimes we have been mired in desperate circumstances. Now, of course, in their cases, captivity and exile, we've had other things that were desperate. But God wanted to put their eyes on the new work he would do. Right? Now, again, they had been in Egypt for 430 years. Some of us have been in situations for weeks and months, sometimes years. But the same principle is God wants to put your eyes on the new work he wants to do. And so the idea of the reminder of not remembering the former things, not to forget everything God has done, but that they would not be stuck in the sense of failure and difficulty in the past. All right, please understand that. That is what I want you to see in this text. All right, next point here. Again, God wanted to put their eyes on the new work he would do. Say it. Say, Lord, thank you. You want to help me place my eyes on the new work you want to do. All right. Often when God makes a promise, we worry about the details or the obstacles for the fulfillment of the promise. God replies to us, he says, this is from the same commentary, don't worry about it at all. I will even make a road in the wilderness. I have resources and plans that you don't know about. Leave those problems to me. Isn't that good? That is so good. So then, when we are mired in a circumstance, God knows, I think we've come to know by now, we have to look forward. Even though we're still handling the circumstance, dealing with it, you know, it's painful, it's grieving sometimes, but we also take time out. Not time out. We simultaneously, we look forward, right? We look forward and keep God's promise ahead of us because God has plans and resources we know nothing about. I've been saved for a long time, and I'm still seeing things that God can do. And I'm still being surprised by what God can do. And if I were mired in circumstances, I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't know that. So again, understand, that's why God said, don't look back, forget the past, not forget every detail of the past, but to not be stuck in a place where you're not seeing what God wants to do next. Okay? All right, let's go back to our slides here and pick up another point here. Now, being renewed is the nature of our life in Christ. You know, looking forward is a type of renewal. Looking and moving beyond your present circumstances and past hurts and pains is part of what renewing is about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is where you started in your life with Christ. You began here, where the whole purpose of being a new, of becoming a new creation is that old things have passed away. It is old sinful things, right? The things that held you back, the things that defeated you, those things have passed away. And all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 4:16 from the Berean Bible says this: "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day." Isn't that true? That we, you know, we feel the self wasting away. One version says decaying, right? And we sometimes sense the physical decay of the outward person, but the inward, he says, is being renewed day by day. So then if we make the mistake of only focusing on my pains, my aches, well, yeah, it's real, but don't get mired in your aches and pains. Don't get mired like Israel got mired, right, in their mindset of the past. You are being renewed in Christ. Say it. I am being renewed in Christ day by day. My question is, well, have you been renewed today? Well, how? Well, prayer, worship. When you pray, do devotionals, worship God, you are being renewed. Renewal is not some magic thing. It's what we do. It's daily. It's just disciplines in the spirit. And so you're renewed when you operate from your spirit, you pray, you worship, because again, engaging circumstances and difficulties is a part of life. We do it with our minds, with the help of God, but we can become mired in circumstances and then miss the daily renewal, right? Be renewed day by day. That's pretty obvious, but sometimes we must state the obvious, okay? All right, so God used these symbolic and poetic words to encourage the Hebrews to look forward and then to go forward. You can only go in the direction that you are looking, okay? So again, we read in our text, Isaiah 43:18, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I should do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Shall you not perceive it?" What is it? "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So we're back to our key text. We're back to this phrase, road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I want to speak to you on that for a while. We've understood again in context about Israel being delivered from captivity and going into the promised land, which God spoke of in symbolic terms of rivers, of roads and rivers. And what's significant about that is a wilderness or a desert can be a frightening place physically, situationally, and emotionally. And God knows this. He knows, and he knows you. He knows me. Now, understand this too. Be clear about the fact that Israel was situated in an arid desert region. It's hard for us to conceive of that. Here in the Midwest, we have trees and grass and fields everywhere. But over there, it was basically a desert everywhere you went and looked, except where you found lakes and waters and seas. So it's hard for us to imagine being stuck out in the middle of a desert or a wilderness. But if you've traveled to the Southwest, you're going anywhere west of Missouri, you've experienced some desert, all right? And you know, it's a stunning thing. And I want you to realize that's how we feel sometimes in our circumstances. We feel we're in the wilderness, even though we're surrounded by people and lots of things. But sometimes our circumstance is like a desert. It's like a wilderness. So let me encourage you now from here to think about these words, roads and rivers. Because the idea is that God, you know, okay, a wilderness by definition is a place with no roads, no paths, no resources. That's what a wilderness is. Well, let me give an example of that. You know, I like to travel and things. And so here's a map of California, Southern California. There's Los Angeles. Down at the lower left, let me take away this one graphic so you can see it clearer. There's LA Basin, they call it. And then there's mountains, there's Pasadena, then there's mountains. All right. And then past the north of the mountains is a desert. Now, one day I was out there, I thought to myself, I'm going to go see this place called Palmdale. Palmdale sounds like a nice place. Palmdale. That sounds pretty good. So I drove over there and I got off in the Palmdale. And Palmdale, you know, once you got past the homes and a few gas stations and stuff, all you saw was desert and cactus. All right. And now I wasn't far from civilization, but I drove even further out. And I got to a point where all I saw was desert. And the mountains way back in the distance, somewhere over the mountains was LA and all the lushness and all that. And, you know, from a Midwest perspective, it was shocking. Now, people who live out there, they're used to it. The Hebrews were used to it. My point to all this is, you know, sometimes you're shocked. We're shocked by the wilderness experiences we come into. We're stunned. We're frightened by them. And that's a normal thing. But know this, that the same God with you in the place of lushness and provision is the same God with you in the place of seemingly desert, barrenness, wilderness. Same God, same power. And so another experience I had that you are also aware of, and again, just want to illustrate to you how God can create roads and rivers, okay, in places that none have existed. That is, God can do amazing and impossible things. So let me go on to the next point here. Now, you will recall that we did mission trips to Africa, but one time, now Africa is very lush, I've never been to Africa. Well, all my trips to Africa have been, you know, in the parts that are green and lush and beautiful. And only once had I been to the desert in Africa, in northern Kenya. And so I'll show this video, which you've seen before. Let me share it with you now. Again, illustrating what a wilderness is like, okay, which I think you can relate to that. We bow down and worship you, Yahweh, Yahweh.
Can I count it?
Come in.
The land cruiser. In a Land Cruiser. Hear the brothers back there. Hey, hey.
What's up?
Driver got us. It's all right. Just 70 more miles.
All right, y'all remember that, okay? I know I do. And now I'm smiling and laughing, you know, because, you know, even though we're in the wilderness, we weren't really by ourselves. And I will say this as a point of just, again, it's a parable, right? Now, on this one road, it was a very bad road, and we're making a new road, and, you know, at the same time. But we knew this, and we experienced this, that when we did break down, I think that truck broke down 6 times, okay? Every time, somebody stopped to help us, every single time. So they know when they go out on this road going to this destination way up north in Kenya, if you get in trouble, somebody's going to help you. And that's part of the, you know, part of the knowledge you have. But it didn't help me a whole lot. Like, we should have got a better truck, you know. Anyway, but imagine being out there by yourself at night. Our thing was, let's get back before the sun goes down. That same road at night would be a whole different situation. So, again, it's all a picture, okay, of what a wilderness feels like, what you feel like, what I feel like sometimes. But God says, I'm going to create roads in the wilderness and rivers in your desert. Okay? That's what I want you to see. And keep that thought in your heart. No matter, again, God says, I will give you roads and rivers, direction and provision in the wilderness, a place where there is no path and no provision anywhere you look. That's what a wilderness is, a place where there's no path and no provision anywhere you look. And I think you understand that. So we want to then recognize that moving forward and upward requires both natural and supernatural interventions. Let me take that same text from Isaiah and give you what I'm sensing from it, okay? In one sense, you know, roads speak of the natural, things you can do with God's help. Rivers speak of the supernatural, things only God can do. Because, you know, roads are, in some ways, you know, people put roads in, right? I mean, God can help people, but roads are manufactured by people. But yet rivers are different. You know, people can't make, we cannot create rivers. We can manipulate rivers, but we cannot create rivers. Rivers, we know, have a power all their own. And I want you to think about this, that as you're moving forward and upward, God is giving you natural and supernatural provision. Roads, ways and paths, things you can do, others can help you do with God's help. I would suggest that the estate planning workshop is a road, right? It's a road that we need to sit down and look at our finances and our investments and all that. And so we have a road to the future. Of course, rivers, now that's supernatural, you know, God's power, the Holy Spirit's power, healing power, things that we just can't do, you know, that are entirely supernatural. So natural and supernatural resources are what we need, all right? So then again, this is a picture from the end of the video I just showed you, but we were driving and we drove past, well, alongside the road we were on was a new road going in. So this road is done now. It's back in 2018. So again, God makes roads in the wilderness. So get a picture and ask you a question. What types of natural provision should you be engaged with? Write it down. Should you balance your checkbook? Do you need to look at your savings account? How are you saving? Look at your spending. Look at, you know, your health and diet and so forth. So on. I mean, these are things that we got to get done, people. All right. And God gives us grace to do it. Again, it's a road in the wilderness. Everything God's going to do in your wilderness won't be supernatural. Some things will be natural. Physical, actual things that God helps you do or helps you, you know, or others help you do. All right, so we got the picture of that. I feel adamant about that right now because as a pastor, I see so much heartache and heartbreak, not from the devil, you know, not from God, but things we neglect that come back and bite us, that come back and haunt us, hurt us. All right, so I think you got the picture of that. Now, this next picture, again, just making illustration. Now, so God makes a road, but he makes rivers in a desert. Here is a desert with a river going through it, right? And that desert speaks of provision. So when water goes through a desert, of course, the animals go there and people go there and the plants try to grow around it. And this is what God is doing for us, for you and for me, right? He's making a road in the wilderness. God is giving us rivers in the desert. Here's a river cutting through the Grand Canyon, right? Water actually cut rock through the Grand Canyon. So rivers are super, I mean, river speaks of God's supernatural provision. All right, here's Ohio River here in the Cincinnati. And this is not a desert, of course, but Ohio River does, you know, supplies transportation routes and all this. So you understand. You get the picture now. And I want you to just be clear and thank God that he is making a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. No matter how much you have done or how old you are, God is still doing new things. Say that. No matter how much I've done or how old or young I am, God is still doing new things. The text said it will spring forth. That is it, meaning the new things, right? So it will, meaning its new things will spring forth. Now, think about this for a moment, spring forth. Things that spring forth, it's sudden. You know, we're in the middle of winter right now. And as I always like to say, spring's around the corner. Next month is spring. Next month is spring, y'all. And the first thing you'll see is springing up from the ground. You see those tulips or whatever it is comes up first, right? They'll spring up. Look up, you know, look over there, nothing. Come back next day, something is up, something sprang up. And this is what God does. If we're looking for it, if we're focused on it, if we're in the wilderness and thanking God and realizing he is making roads and rivers, well, it will spring forth. The thing is, are you looking for it? Or he says, shall you not perceive it? Sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction. This is why it is essential to look forward and press forward. Why? Things that spring up can only do so in the future. If you look back, you may miss it. So if we're mired in our circumstances, again, we handle circumstances. I'm not telling you to look away from your circumstances. In fact, you'll do better with circumstances if you balance dealing with them with looking forward, right? Pressing forward, looking for the road and the river that God has provided you. So things that spring up only do so in the future, like tomorrow or even later on today after I get through preaching. Things might spring up, you know, next 5 minutes. But if you look back, you might miss it. That's why the text says so often that we don't, it says, don't look back. Don't look back, because if while you're looking back, you'll miss what's ahead of you. While you're looking back, you'll miss what is ahead of you. So just remember, but don't look back. Remember, but don't look back. Because God's wanting to, he wants things to spring forth. And it comes suddenly, y'all. It comes suddenly, right? He didn't say just eases in. He said it springs forth. If he said it eased in, you could look back and every now and then look forward and see it. But no, I think the way God wants us to be is to focus forward. So when it springs up, we'll perceive it. Okay, it makes sense? All right. Let's finish up here. Almost done. So Philippians, we'll close here. Philippians chapter 3. Here's a good summary from the Apostle Paul. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, I mean, again, the bad past, the sinful past, the defeated past, and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Amen. So there it is. And I'm pretty confident you've gotten a hold of this, okay? I think now what you need to do is commit to it. It's pretty clear what God is saying. And now let's commit to it in terms of as we handle our situations and we don't become mired in them. In fact, if we have a balance of looking forward and drawing hope, we'll be better in the present circumstance. We'll have more wisdom, more strength, more encouragement. And we want to have that mindset that God is always making roads and rivers for us. So things are likely to spring up. Things are going to spring up. And so he said, shall you not perceive it? So make sure you're looking that way. Make sure you're looking forward, because God isn't working in the past. God has worked in the past. But all the work God does this time forward, obviously, is in the future, today in the future. So then be encouraged. Go back over this lesson. Go back over the scriptures, over your notes. Because I'm sure that this is a word from God. I'm sure of it. Not because I preached it, but because it's scripture. And we're living in times and seasons where, for a lack of going forward, we do get mired in the past. We get mired in circumstances. And so thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for Jesus, amen, who makes all things possible. Amen. So I trust you are blessed today by the word of God. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us of many things that we already knew and giving us insight of some things we were not clear about. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to go forward, to look forward, to seize those things, Lord God, that you've put in front of us in the road and in the river. Lord, thank you for giving us grace that as roads represent things that we do with your help, that we will do what you want us to do, what is responsible for us, we will do. And then, Lord, the rivers are the supernatural, the things only you can do. We need both, Lord. We need both natural and supernatural provision, which you provide. And we thank you for it, Lord, and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you.